Thank you for your interest in extruded snacks. My name is Elisa Karkley. I'm a PhD student at the Department of Grain Science and Industry at Kansas State University. The title of this work is Development and Evaluation of Fruit and Vegetable-Based Extruded Snacks. It was developed by myself, by Drs. Jain and Wagri from universities in India, and Dr. Olavi and Dr. Dogan from Kansas State University. Starch-based extruded snacks are very unique in their texture mainly. However, since it's starch-based, you have a very limited nutritional value. So the question is, can a tasty snack be good for you? The incorporation of fruits and vegetables has been an issue since the 1980s, and the main drivers for incorporating fruits and vegetables into extruded snacks are health concerns and also the addition of value to byproducts. And fruits and vegetables, they respond to the health concerns due to the fact of being high in fiber and also important phytochemicals. And the fruit and vegetable industry also generates various byproducts that can be used. However, there is a challenge. Fruits and vegetables have sugars, fiber, and organic acids, and these are known to hinder expansion of extruded snacks. This project was developed as a part of the Kansas State University and India Ag Knowledge Initiative. Hence, it is focused to the Indian population. What is happening right now is a rapid dissemination of extrusion technology in India, and the industry wants to focus on healthier snacks and also local products. Hence, the objectives of this project were to incorporate different fruits and vegetables into commonly consumed in India into corn-based extruded snacks, and then study the effect of this incorporation on various quality parameters. Our base material was yellow cornmeal, and then the fruits and vegetables used were Indian gooseberry, curry leaves, kulfa leaves, lotus stems, and pumpkin. These products were dried and ground into a fine powder and then added to cornmeal in two different levels, substituting the cornmeal at 25% level and 50% level. So we had 10 different treatments plus a cornmeal control. The dry mixes were equilibrated to 25% moisture and extruded using a lab-scale twin-screw extruder. The feed rate was 3.2 kilograms per hour. It was a small extruder, and the temperatures ranged from 40 to 110 degrees Celsius. After extrusion, the products were dried at 100 degrees Celsius and stored for future analysis. The dehydrated powders were analyzed for fiber content using standard methods. Soluble and insoluble fiber were measured and then added up to have the total fiber content of each powder. The extracts were analyzed for sectional expansion ratio, measuring the width with calipers, and they were also analyzed for breaking force using a 3-point breaking test on a texture analyzer. The color was measured using the LAB parameters, where L is the lightness, A is red and green, either positive or negative values, and B is yellow and blue. These three parameters were combined in this equation for color difference, and the color difference was measured between the powders, the snacks, with 25% powder and 50% powder. X refers to 25% and Y in the equation to 50%. The microstructure was also analyzed, and we use X-ray microtomography for that. This is a relatively new technology that has been only recently been applied to extruded snacks. It is non-invasive. You can analyze a sample without cutting or any further manipulation. And it is a great tool to visualize the internal structure of extrudates. We use it to measure the shape of the air cells, which is the eccentricity, and the volumetric void fraction. We also conducted a consumer acceptance test using a 9-point hedonic scale. The test was done by 30 women aged 40 to 50 in Osmania University, India, and the parameters are described here: overall acceptance, texture, taste, doneness, color, flavor, appearance, and mouthfeel. All the data was analyzed using ANOVA between the powder level and the type of powder used. Tookie's test was used for the pair-wise comparisons, and Pierce's correlation was conducted on selected parameters. For all tests, a significance level of 5% was used. Into the results. These are the results for insoluble and soluble dietary fiber content. You can see that most of the powders have a higher amount of insoluble fiber and of insoluble, And the soluble fiber content of cornmeal doesn't show in the graph. It's around 0.2%. This image illustrates that when you substitute cornmeal for the other powder, you are not just doubling the fiber amount from going to 25 to 50%. That's because cornmeal also has fiber. You can see in the image, you compare lotus stems to cornmeal, it doesn't change much if you go from 25% to 50 because they have a very similar fiber content. This doesn't happen, though, when you increase the content of curry leaves or kulfa leaves. You get a great increase in dietary fiber. This image shows the sectional expansion ratio of the extra dates. All extra dates containing fruit and vegetable powders had a lower expansion except for lotus stems at 25% powder content. And for almost all of the powders, increasing the level from 25 to 50 decreased expansion. These are X-ray tomography images of pumpkin, Indian gooseberry, and curry leaves. These are all with 50% powder. You can see that the internal structure is extremely different in the number, shape of air cells, and also in the cell wall thickness. However, these three have the exact same expansion ratio. There is no significant difference. Here are the results of volumetric void fraction as calculated in the 3D image generated by X-ray microtomography. Cornmeal had the higher void fraction, and the others were slightly lower. It is interesting to note that expansion ratio and void fraction are positively correlated. There is vast literature indicating that whenever you include fiber, or may it be cereal or fruit and vegetable fiber, into an extruded dry mix, instead of having radial expansion, you tend to have a more longitudinal expansion. This image demonstrates that in radial expansion, on the upper side of the image, you have rounder cells, while after you include fiber on the lower image, you have a longitudinal expansion and more elliptic-shaped cells. To verify if this was true in these products, we measured the eccentricity using the X-ray microtomography. This is not a perfect scale, but it indicates the zero eccentricity would be the most circular air cells, while when you go towards one, you tend towards a more elliptic shape. You can see that cornmeal had the most circular air cells, and as we incorporated different fruits and vegetables, the cells became more elliptic. You can also note that when increased from 25 to 50%, eccentricity increased. This is a longitudinal image generated by the X-ray microtomography, and these are the extremes in eccentricity and also in expansion. You can see lotus stem at 25% powder, the shape of the air cells, and then Indian gooseberry at 25%, extremely different air cells. So up to this point, we talked about internal structure, expansion, and fiber content, and let's see how these are all related. Soluble fiber had a significant correlation with void fraction, expansion ratio, and eccentricity. So basically, when you increase soluble fiber, you have a lower void fraction, a lower expansion, and increased eccentricity. What is interesting is that insoluble fiber and total fiber had no significant correlation. These are the results for the breaking force of the extra dates. You can see that cornmeal and nodosemin 50% had the same breaking force, and all others had a lower breaking force. When we're talking about starch-based extra dates, usually if you have lower expansion, you'll have harder extra dates and the breaking force will be higher. However, when the starch is substituted by fiber, sugar, and other materials, even if they don't expand as much, you have an extra date that requires less force to break. This image shows the color difference of the extrudates with different powder levels, which is comparing the color of the snack with 25% powder and 50% powder. The difference is mainly based on the composition of the powders. We can see that Indian gooseberry had a high color difference, and this is due mainly to the sugar content of this powder, while lotus also had a high color difference, and we attribute this to Maillard reaction, since lotus stem does have some protein content higher than the others. These are the results for the consumer acceptance test. And you can see the green line referring to cornmeal, it had the higher acceptance of all the other samples, while pumpkin had lower scores for almost all of the attributes. Going on to 50% powder level, first of all, 25 and 50% powder had no significant difference, which means that the consumers cannot tell how much powder is in there. And here again, we have cornmeal with the highest acceptance and pumpkin one of the lowest. And what I want to point out is the overall acceptance. Cornmeal had the same acceptance as the snack with 50% powder of lotus stems, of kulfa leaves, and of Indian gooseberry. So the conclusions are that the addition of dehydrated fruit and vegetable powder greatly impacts the physical parameters of the extrudates. It changes the internal structure greatly, and it changes several other physical parameters. However, the consumer acceptance results were very promising, since for lotus stems, kulfa leaves, and Indian gooseberry, they were as well accepted as the control cornmeal. So the answer to our initial question is that yes, healthy snacks, they can be tasty as our control at least. And I would like to point out that our snacks did not have any coatings or flavorings or seasonings. So once these are incorporated, they can be better and more acceptable. The future work is then to optimize the processing conditions for each powder. We use the same processing conditions because we wanted to compare the effects. However, each of the materials is very unique, and if we adjust the processing to each of these, I'm sure we could have a better quality. The microstructure can also be further explored, as XMT is a very powerful tool, and we can expand the analysis of microstructure greatly. Another work that must be done is to better understand the effect of soluble and insoluble fiber in extrudate expansion. I would like to thank Dr. Yang Shengxi and Mr. Eric Michael for their help in the processing and analysis of the extrudates. Thank you very much, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me.